Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading tonight is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Again, that is Romans chapter 1, first chapter, verses 14 through 16. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who also are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Again, that was Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 from the New American Standard Bible.
Good to be with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, pleasant afternoon. Tonight, I'm going to further one of my points from this morning. This morning, if you weren't here, we emphasized some reasons what is involved in standing up for Jesus. We emphasized the fact that we should stand up for Christ because he died for us. I emphasized in my second point that we need to be preaching the gospel to the lost. And I realized as I was preaching that the time was getting away from me. And so I held back a few thoughts on the preaching of the gospel. And I thought that I might preach that tonight, that portion of it. So I may not keep you very long tonight, or I might keep you overtime. It all just depends how I feel about it. But anyway, we are going to make about 3 points about the preaching of the gospel. Now, remember, we said this morning that we're obligated. We're under the Great Commission. And so is our obligation to go out and teach all nations and to baptize those, of course, who accept the gospel of Christ. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we notice again the words of Paul in the scripture reading that Brother Harold just read for us, Brother Arnold. At verse 14, I probably should have had him read down through verse 17. But again, he said, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That being, of course, probably the theme of the book of Romans and certainly the heart of it. He goes on, though, at verse 17 to say, for in it, that is, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous or just shall live by faith. I have just a few thoughts on the gospel of Christ. First of all, what is the gospel? And the reason to emphasize that is because a lot of people misunderstand exactly what the gospel is. There are those who believe that the gospel is simply the story of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's the gospel, and that's all the gospel is. And we don't deny, of course, that that is the heart of the gospel once again. When we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we listen to what Paul has to say about that gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and notice, if you would, beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 1. Paul said, now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in according with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. And so there's no doubt, nobody argues against the fact that that is the heart of the gospel. We sometimes refer to that as the facts of the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And if we're going to win souls to Jesus, of course, they need to hear the wonderful story about Jesus Christ in Him crucified. But as we consider standing up for Christ and our obligation to preach the gospel, we should realize that the gospel involves more than just those facts. The gospel really entails the totality of New Testament teaching. And there have been those, again, over the years who have denied that, some thinking that it's just limited to this story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There even have been brethren over the years to teach that's the case. In fact, they have taught in the past that the gospel is something that needs to be preached to the world. And then they make a distinction between that and the doctrine of Christ. And they argue that while we can preach the gospel to the world, we can't teach doctrine to the world. We can only preach the gospel. We can only preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then when it comes down to the church, we don't preach the gospel to the church. We teach the doctrine of Christ to the church. And so they made a distinction between the gospel and the doctrine. And they had a purpose in doing that. What they were heading towards is unity and diversity. And so they would emphasize, we all need to be on the same page. We need to be of the same mind. We need to speak the same thing when it comes down to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But doctrine, we can disagree on. Doctrine, we don't have to be of the same mind. We can have differences on major doctrinal issues. And so in order to teach that, they had to make that distinction between the gospel and the doctrine. The problem is the Bible doesn't make that distinction. The Bible teaches that the gospel of Christ is the doctrine of Christ, and the doctrine of Christ is the gospel of Christ. It's just a different term that refers to the same thing. I often use Galatians chapter 1 to make that point, at least in part. If you turn over to Galatians chapter 1 and notice at verse 11. Galatians chapter 1 and at verse 11, Paul writes, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but by revelation, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, what did Paul preach? He preached gospel, the gospel. Paul was a gospel preacher. And yet, when we drop down to the end of the chapter, at verse 23, it says, "They only were hearing," it said, "he," that is Paul, "who used to persecute us is now preaching," what? "The faith." Well, I thought he preached the gospel. He did. But here it says he preached the faith. And so the obvious question is, what's the difference between the gospel in verse 11 and the faith in verse 23? And the obvious answer is, there is no difference. Paul didn't preach two different things. He preached the gospel. Sometimes it's called the gospel, and sometimes it's called the faith. Now, when you begin to do research on the faith, you realize that the faith involves much more than just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It involves, once again, the totality of New Testament teaching. And yes, sometimes it's called gospel, and sometimes it's called the faith, and sometimes it's called the word of faith. Sometimes it's just called the word, but it's all referring to the same thing, New Testament teaching. Now, that's important for us to understand, first of all, because we can do away with the silly notion that we just only preach the gospel to the world, and we just only preach doctrine to the church. That doesn't have a scriptural basis for it. And in fact, look over at the passage we just read back over in Romans chapter 1. And if you were paying attention to what Paul wrote there, you notice He says again at verse 14, I'm a debtor. I'm obligated both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you. Now, I would admit there that Paul did have a desire to get to Rome and to preach to those who were not Christians. But he says specifically here, he's writing to the church, and he says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. That's the church. And Paul wanted to preach the gospel to them. They had already obeyed the gospel. They had already heard and received the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But Paul wanted to preach the gospel to them. Furthermore, when you look over in Romans chapter 6, now watch this. In Romans the 6th chapter, Paul at verse 17, Romans chapter 6 at verse 17, he says, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. The King James says that form of doctrine. So before they were Christians, they heard doctrine. It was the doctrine of Christ that they heard, believed, and received and became children of God. So we have book, chapter, and verse then for the gospel being preached to the church and doctrine being preached to those who aren't members of the church. So that distinction, again, just doesn't hold any weight. It's all the same. And preaching the doctrine of Christ is indeed a part of standing up for Jesus. How, pray tell, would you even go about winning souls to Christ without preaching doctrine? Baptism is not a part of the death, burial, and resurrection story, is it? But certainly we have to tell people that they need to be baptized. Acts chapter 8 is necessarily implied in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Philip that baptism is a part of preaching Christ. You remember that Philip only preached Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch and he wanted to be baptized. Because he emphasized, Philip that is, emphasized being baptized. But that's doctrine. And the truth is we need to teach doctrine to those who aren't Christians. We oftentimes sit down in a home Bible study and we'll teach individuals things like Bible authority and we'll teach them about the church and the work of the church and the worship of the church. I do that almost always when I'm sitting down with someone and trying to win them to Christ. And now, person doesn't need to know the totality of New Testament teaching in order to be a Christian. But the truth is, the more we can teach them, and sometimes we have the opportunity to teach them about the church so they know what they're getting themselves into. We can teach them about worship so they can make that distinction between denominational practices and teaching and realize the truth. And on more than a few occasions, in fact, the majority of time, we have the opportunity to teach them those things before they obey the gospel. There are times when we don't get to all of that before we baptize a person, but the point of it is we need to stand up for Christ by teaching all of the gospel, which will lead us to our third point. The next point I want to make to you just very quickly is, of course, we need to preach only the gospel. And that certainly is a part of standing up for Christ. When we go beyond that and we teach something other than the gospel, we're no longer standing up for Jesus. And we are warned, of course, over and over again about not doing that. I'm sure we're all familiar with Galatians chapter 1. We were just there a moment ago, but let's go back to maybe the more familiar verses in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Paul said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. It is very important. As we again think about this concept of standing up for Jesus because he died for us. Yes, we need to preach the gospel. And we need to know exactly what the gospel is. And we need to limit what we teach people to the gospel. That is, to the teaching of God's word. If we go beyond, as Paul just informed us very clearly, if we teach another gospel, we will be accursed. In Paul's day, he was worried about those who were mixing the law, Judaism, with the gospel, particularly teaching people that they need to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. And they will be accursed for that. And even beyond that, when you teach something other than the gospel, it's not going to save anyone. The only thing that saves is indeed the pure gospel of Christ. And it's why John, as you know, over in 2 John, gives us a strong and stern warning about this. In 2 John, only one chapter, of course, at verse 9. 2 John, verse 9, he says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching or the doctrine of Christ does not have God. And whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. We need to abide in the doctrine of Christ. If we go beyond it, we may think, well, you know, I'm standing up for Jesus. But the moment you go beyond the doctrine of Christ, you're no longer standing up for Jesus. So let's understand what the gospel is. Let's make sure that we're preaching only the gospel, not our opinions. Not what's popular, not what's going to tickle the ears of people, but simply the gospel and only the gospel. And then the third point very quickly that I was going to make is that, and this was kind of inferred by my first point, but we need to preach all of the gospel. It's not enough just to say, well, I'm only preaching the gospel. There are some people that will not add to the doctrine of Christ, but they fall short of teaching all of the gospel. And this, again, is a part of standing up for Jesus. You cannot say, well, I'm not going to teach this because this is unpopular with people, or that this will offend too many people, and so I'm not going to preach this, and then claim I'm standing up for Jesus. Now, we need to preach only the gospel, but we need to preach all of the gospel. There are parts and portions of the gospel, particularly in our society today, in the religious world today, that aren't very popular with people. There are some portions of the gospel that will make some people mad, that will get angry, that will call you names for preaching the gospel. But we need to preach all of it. The classic passage, of course, that teaches us that, and it is implied in many passages of Scripture. But Acts chapter 20, turn your Bibles over to Acts the 20th chapter, and let's take a look for just a moment at what Paul has to say. Acts the 20th chapter, you'll remember down at verse 17, the Bible says, Acts 20 at verse 17 beginning, it says, now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. Now watch, he says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you in public and from house to house. Paul did not keep anything back. At verse 26, it says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. Why? For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. That means he was willing to preach everything that was taught in the gospel. And when it comes down, you realize that again, the gospel, as we said before, is the totality of New Testament teaching. Obviously, Paul didn't teach everything to everybody because it wasn't needed or necessary. But there was never, ever a time when there was something in one of the churches where Paul worked. Whether he was at Ephesus, whether he was at Corinth, or wherever he was, there was never ever the case where they needed something and Paul said, no, I'm not going to teach that. That would make them mad. I'll hurt their feelings. I won't be popular. Paul never did that. He declared the whole counsel of God. As you're going from place to place, again, this isn't just applicable to those of us who preach publicly, not limited just to the evangelist. But when you go from place to place, it might be the home of family members. I mean, people you work with or go to school with. Whenever you are teaching the gospel of Christ, you be willing to declare the whole counsel of God. That's standing up for Jesus. We know already some people won't like it. Some people will call us narrow-minded. Well, we know already there's a lot of distinctive teaching involved in the gospel of Christ that's not taught by denominational churches. There's a lot of things we teach that we will be viewed as heretics, including the fact that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. Many other things. Things on the work and things on the worship of the church. But people need that. If they're going to be saved and continue in a relationship with God, they need the whole counsel of God. Paul said, I didn't keep back anything that was profitable. Will we? If we do, we're not standing up for Jesus. And so I hope we'll understand what the gospel is, that we'll be willing to limit ourselves to preaching only the gospel, and that we'll be willing to declare the whole counsel of God, that we'll preach all of the gospel. I hope that we'll determine to do that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed this gospel. You know exactly what it is tonight. And you know that if you haven't obeyed the gospel, remember, it's the power of God unto salvation. You know that you're not saved. But you can be saved this very night. You can be buried in the waters of baptism. That will put you into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, Ephesians 1 and at verse 3. The water's ready. In just a few minutes, you can be a new creature in Christ. Maybe you haven't continued in the gospel. Maybe you're a child of God and you have allowed sin to creep into your life. You need to repent of that. Ask God for forgiveness. You can do that tonight as well. Repent and pray God. Ask him for forgiveness. John said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you've sinned publicly, come forward and ask for the prayers of the church. We'd be glad. We'd be thrilled to pray for you. Well, we'll be happy to discover that you have unrepented sin in your life, but we'd be thrilled that now you're ready to repent, you're willing to repent, and that you'll be restored to God. And you can do that tonight. Don't put it off. You may not have tomorrow, but you have right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.